standing in line to meet them, students and guests, I did see such people as George Balanchine, director of the American School of Ballet, and Herb Bloch, the cartoonist, and Helen Hayes, one of the greatest of the stage, and Willem de Kooning, a painter, and Harper Lee, one of my favorite novelists, To Kill a Mockingbird, Walter Lippmann, the columnist, and Marion Manis, the writer, and Dr. J. Robert Oppenheimer. How happy all those young scientific students would have been to have talked to him, and Dr. Glenn Seaborg, the same there, and Alan Shepard, too. Perhaps they hadn't had enough chance that morning to talk with him. Ben Sean, the artist, and John Walker of the National Gallery of Art. I'm sure all the aspiring young art students would have been thrilled. And I had seen ever so many more acceptances, which I am not sure I recognized myself. Robert Penn Warren, the novelist, Edward Durrell Stone, the architect. What we should have done is ask them all to wear name tags. Even those most distinguished names in art, literature, drama, space, government, and education can get lost and unrecognized in the crowd. As I found out when I introduced Miss Hayes, no less, to one of the young students, and her answer was a very sweet, polite, "Oh, I'm so glad to meet you, Miss Hayes. My grandmother is named Miss Hayes." After that, I didn't make the same mistake anymore. I would beam and say, "Oh, I know you'll be so thrilled to meet Miss Helen Hayes, because I expect you have seen her on the stage many times." Or, "This is Harper Lee. I expect you have read her book, To Kill a Mockingbird." At any rate, I cued them in from then on. But I know they missed a lot of the richness of the evening, simply from not knowing who was there. After a while, parents and many of the grown people said goodbye, and Linda Bird was hostess on the lawn, where the red striped tents were set up for hamburgers and soft drinks, and then entertainment. And this was one of the best times of the mixing and mingling, I later heard, because Leonard Bernstein had a group of some 20 or 30 students around him, listening entranced. This is what it's all about, as far as I'm concerned. Besides the recognition of excellence, the opportunity for these great young potential people to meet with those who have already achieved great things for America. That would have been something for them to remember always. Lennon had been in the West Wing for a briefing session on Southeast Asia with cabinet members. He had strolled out to mingle with the young people, and then he turned around, went back in the West Wing, and brought out Bobby Kennedy with him. As the newspapers put it, then something prompted him to return and bring out Mr. Kennedy. Of course, what prompted him to return is simply because he's a generous and understanding man, and he knows that Bobby Kennedy has a rapport with young people, and that a lot of his interest has been toward young groups. Doris Powell arrived about 8 o'clock. This is a house guest I have looked forward to so eagerly. I got her settled in the room that the West had just vacated and told her to join us right soon on the little balcony off the yellow room to watch the entertainment on the lawn below. A.W. and Mary Allen and the children and I took our seats and watched Sidney Poitier introduce the Jerry Mulligan Quartet, one of the jazz favorites of today. Among their numbers was Blues for Linda, a composition of their own. And then Jose Ferrer did readings from Shakespeare. Not too much Shakespeare and a good deal of memories of Jose Ferrer. And then Nicholas de Virgilio, or maybe it's Virgilio, of the Metropolitan Opera Company, was supposed to sing three arias, one from Puccini. But about that time, Lyndon arrived, hungry, and we went in for dinner, with me excusing myself before we got around to dessert and going back out on the porch. Too late, alas, to hear Leonard Bernstein, but in time for the Kingston Trio, old favorite of Linda Bird's, whose music on records I have been hearing since she was 13. It was a delightful sight down below. As Maxine Cheshire wrote, the Kingston Trio's finale sent their jazzy guitar renditions echoing down across the ellipse for tourists strolling around the Washington Monument. I couldn't stand it any longer up there, and I said, "Come on, Lyndon." So we went down and lay on the grass on our elbows and watched the rest of the entertainment and the young folks. Then greeted a lot of the young folks, and I had a chance to tell the entertainers how much I enjoyed it, particularly Sidney Poitier, whom I remember from Raisin in the Sun. He played the rebellious son. And I told him I felt like Mama with that little pot of ivy that she carried from dwelling to dwelling and to dwelling. "This is my little piece of self-expression," Mama said. I just wish I had been able to hear Leonard Bernstein, Chopin. I went to bed early with a self-satisfied feeling that this had been a good day, and I was glad to have under my roof Doris and the Morsons. But the slightly unfulfilled feeling that I myself had not added to the young folks' meeting all that I could have.